जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी जय गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारी यशोदानन्दन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानन्दन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीर वनचारी यमुना तीर वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी
Pachakacharya Shri Shri Srimad, His Divine Grace, Sri Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Vishnupada Paramahansa Pachakacharya Shri Shri Srimad, His Divine Grace, Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur Srila Prabhupada. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda, Namachari Srila Haridas Thakur, Prem Sikho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोगोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की जय वृंदावन मथुरा धाम की जय मायापुर नवदीप धाम की जय पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र जगन्नाथ पुरी धाम की कलयुग पावन श्री हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय निताय गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड डिवोटी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल्ड ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु वाणी श्री गौरांग ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी। reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1st, Chapter 1st, Text 2nd. Dharmo projita kaita vatro paramo nirmat saranam satam. Vedyam vasamastras vastu shivadam tapatrayo unmulinam. Shrimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krute Kim Vapare Rishvara. Sadhyo Rudhya Varudhyate Tatra Kriti Bhihi Shushushvita Chana. I'll go quickly. I will just read the translation and the purport because it is two paragraphs. Translation, because we have been already reciting. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: completely rejecting all religious activities which are materially motivated, this Bhagavat Puran propounds the highest truth, which is understandable by those devotees who are fully pure in heart. The highest truth is reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. Such truth uproots the threefold miseries. This beautiful Bhagavatam, compiled by the great sage Vyasadeva in his maturity, is sufficient in itself for God realization. What is the need of any other scripture? As soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of Bhagavatam, by this culture of knowledge, the Supreme Lord is established within his heart. So I have been asked to read from a particular paragraph. I'll just read the few sentences before that because it will give the proper reference to that. The Srimad Bhagavatam is superior to all of these because all of these means Karma Kand, Jnana Kand and Upasana Kand, because it aims at the supreme truth, which is the substance or the root of all energies. From Srimad Bhagavatam, one can come to know the substance as well as the categories. The substance is the absolute truth, the Supreme Lord, and all emanations are relative forms of energy. Nothing is apart from the substance, but at the same time, the energies are different from the substance. This conception is not contradictory. Srimad Bhagavatam explicitly promulgates this simultaneously one and different philosophy of the Vedanta Sutra, which begins with Janmadhyasya Sutra. This knowledge that the energy of the Lord is simultaneously one with and different from the Lord is an answer to the mental speculator's attempt to establish the energy as the absolute. When this knowledge is factually understood, one sees the conceptions of monism and dualism to be imperfect. Development of this transcendental consciousness grounded in the conception of simultaneously one and different leads one immediately to the stage of freedom from the threefold miseries. The threefold miseries are those miseries which arise from the mind and body, those miseries inflicted by the other living beings, and those miseries arising from the natural catastrophes over which one has no control. Srimad Bhagavatam begins with the surrender of the devotee and to the Absolute Person. The devotee is fully aware that he is one with the Absolute and at the same time in the eternal position of servant to the Absolute. In the material conception, one falsely thinks himself the Lord of all he surveys, and therefore he is always troubled by the threefold miseries of life. But as soon as one comes to know his real position as transcendental servant, he at once becomes free from all miseries. As long as the living entity is trying to master material nature, there is no possibility of his becoming servant of the Supreme. Service to the Lord is rendered in pure consciousness of one's spiritual identity. By service, one is immediately freed from material encumbrances. Over and above this, Srimad Bhagavatam is a personal commentation on the Vedanta Sutra by Srila Vyasadeva. It was written in the maturity of his spiritual life through the mercy of Narada. Sri Vyasadeva is the authorized incarnation of Narayan, the personality of Godhead. Therefore, there is no question as to his authority. He is the author of all other Vedic literatures, yet he recommends the study of Srimad Bhagavatam above all others. In other Puranas, there are different methods set forth by which one can worship the demigods. But in the Bhagavatam, only the Supreme Lord is mentioned. The Supreme Lord is a total body, and the demigods are the different parts of that body. Consequently, by worshipping the Supreme Lord, one does not need to worship the demigods. The Supreme Lord becomes fixed in the heart of the devotee immediately. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has recommended the Srimad Bhagavatam as a spotless Purana and distinguishes it from all other Puranas. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalabhya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutali Swayam Rupaha Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Namaom Vishnapadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shanyavadi Pashatyadishatarini Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gaurutvishe Namaha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Vancha Kalpataru Bhishcha Krupa Sindhu Bhayevacha Anam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Nama Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So welcome everyone to this morning Srimad Bhagavatam class. So in this verse, the second verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, canto first, chapter first, Srila Vyasadeva is explaining the purpose of this Vedic literature and what is the benefit, what we can get the benefit, the highest benefit we can get. And as we know that Srila Vasudeva, he received that instruction from Srila Narad Muni to write Srimad Bhagavatam, elaborate on it. And how he has written this Bhagavatam out of great compassion for all the fallen souls of Kali Yuga. And this, he is first of all telling about Kaitava Dharma. He's kicking out all false, pretentious religion. Very, very clear about what he wants to speak and what is the purpose of this great literature, what is the benefit one can receive. And we can see that this the sages of Naimisharanya have gathered at Naimisharanya for making a sacrifice for 1,000 years, right? 1,000 years is a big time, right? 1 hour is a big time for us. And we can see that how they chose Suta Goswami. Suta Goswami, we know that he was in that historical meeting between Shukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj. 7 days and 7 nights he was with everyone. Suta Goswami heard attentively. Very, very deeply he had heard, reflected on it, assimilated. And we can see that Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, 7 days, they were spoken something like it was an urgency, right? Arjuna was in a dilemma, so Krishna had to quickly summarize everything and give Bhagavad Gita. It was an urgency, could not elaborate too much. And even at the time of Parikshit Maharaj, you can see that it was an urgency. 7 days, countdown has begun. Right? You have to wait, watch the clock when it ends. So, Shukadeva Goswami had to sometimes control his ecstasies. He could not elaborate too much. 7 days is a too less time for him, right? For Shukadeva Goswami to elaborate on Bhagavatam, the liberated Paramahamsa soul. So he had to limit. And Suta Goswami also could feel that, it's not, elaborated, there is so much in Bhagavatam. We need to do something else, another project, Bhagavatam recitation. And after hearing for 7 days, 7 nights, then he also realized that it's such a huge literature and it's so powerful. And it is a solution for all the problems of Kali Yuga, right? Problems of Kali Yuga are unlimited. It's like an ocean. Ocean of faults, it is explained. It is explained at the end of Bhagavatam. Kale dosha nidhe rajan asti eka mahan guna kirtana deva krishnasya mukta sanga param. So they saw that Kali Yuga is a big ocean of faults. Everywhere there are faults. Wherever you look, any direction, anybody, any country, everywhere there are faults. Ocean of faults. And even you might have seen today's time. Pandemic, corona spreading, people are suffering. They could have, I mean, just my mental speculation. But Srila Vyasadeva, Sutta Goswami, they could see in the future how people are suffering. And what is the solution? They have to do something. I mean, they have, out of compassion, they have given us this great literature. There was no need for them to take that kind of pain, to sit and recite Bhagavatam. What is going to happen after so many years? Why should we worry now, right? Let them suffer, and we will enjoy, relish. But that was not the mood of the great Vaishnavas. They take extra pains to relieve the suffering of others. Sometimes we want to be in a comfort zone, right? Nobody disturbs me, D&D. Do not disturb. But these great acharyas and Vaishnavas, they are spending their quality time. Very, very important time of their life. They could have made money and so many things. But they said no. They are out of compassion. They gave up their own personal comforts. Right? Without that compassion, this message would not reach to us. That we should try to see that what is the compassion of the great Vaishnavas, how we have received this mercy because of someone's compassion, right? Without that, we could not get that, we could not come to this stage. Because somebody had been compassionate, they thought that, oh, people are so fallen, no hope for them, they don't have qualification. So let us be compassionate. Not be passionate to push them and get things done. But compassionate. Compassionate also somebody has interpreted as compassionate. Means come in Hindi is less. Less passionate. Compassionate. So become less passionate and become compassionate. That is a mood. And without that, we could not get this mercy. So, the sages had been assembled there for making a sacrifice for 1,000 years. And that was their resolve, that they will sit at one place and continue Bhagavatam. So we can understand the compassionate nature of such great sages. They have helped us so much. We should be so much grateful to them. That because of them, this message has reached to us. And Srila Vyasadeva also, he wrote down that. And it is explained that in his maturity, he wrote down this Srimad Bhagavatam. So it was not that the first time he was writing any book. He was empowered to write. He was dictating and Lord Ganesha was scripting, scribing everything. And he had written Puranas, Upanishads, Vedanta Sutras, everything. But still he was not satisfied. And when he was instructed by Srila Narada Muni. Again, Narada Muni had a compassion on him. Because he saw that he is trying to find out the truth, but he's very close, but he's not reaching. Right? So he had to just help him, facilitate, clear that mental block. Just one step and he's there. So that was a moment of transformation. For Srila Vyasadeva, he accepted. Moment of truth, sometimes it is in today's time, the first moment of truth, something. But zero moment of truth. Zimot, some concept is coming. marketing terms. If somebody develops a desire to buy a product, then that's considered to be zero moment of truth. When you start searching, first moment of truth, second moment of truth, third moment, and when he purchases, he's your customer. So, desire to understand Bhagavatam, desire to understand the Supreme Truth, is our zero moment of truth. Right? As soon as we develop that desire, okay, what is this? Let me understand. What is Krishna consciousness movement? That is our zero moment of truth. Our transformation journey has started. We cannot come back now. There is no reverse path on this journey. So, Srila Vyasadevi was transformed by that. At that time, at that moment, he accepted Srila Narada Muni's instructions. He understood. He reoriented his consciousness in such a way that he started seeing in a different perspective. He could connect everything now because he saw that it was so simple. It was not difficult. Krishna consciousness is a very simple process. It's not too difficult. You don't have to do too many word juggleries and confuse audience. It is simple. Krishna consciousness is simple. So he understood. He gave that simple process of bhakti, devotional service, the essence of everything. And the great acharyas, they see every verse of Srimad Bhagavatam as a personification of Supreme Lord's internal potency. So that is the power of Bhagavatam. And Bhagavatam can be interpreted in different ways, of course. Everyone has their own ways of giving their commentaries and interpretations. But what Bhagavatam says? Bhagavatam says that akama sarva kama va moksha kama udara tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusha param. Somebody has a desire, some material desires, kama, no desires, sarva kama, so many desires, moksha kama udara is a desire to get liberated. Somebody comes to Bhagavatam with that motive, he will be joyous. Now, I'll be liberated from the cycle of birth and death, right? Now I come to the final station, final spot. And I have to continue this and then I'll perfect my life and go back home back to God. He'll be so happy because it awards that. Tivrena bhakti yoga. So anybody who has such kind of desire, they should do? Tivrena bhakti yoga. They should do intense desire. Devotional service, not just superficial or external, but going more deeper. In the same process of bhakti, one has to go more deeper. Then one will start realizing its power. Otherwise one will think that, oh, why this ritual? And why so many hours of sitting and hearing? What is the use? What is going to change my life? And it's the same thing, my problems are not solved. Right? So many, mind gives so many excuses. But one must understand that this time, what we are investing, it's a very important time that we should try to hear more attentively, more quality hearing. Because that hearing can transform our life. It can give a different perspective to our life. All our problems of mortal life will be solved. If we just understand this simple truth. Because ultimately there is no solution to the material problems. Whatever we do, there is no end. Right? Ultimately one has to come to the higher path. To take the process. And the material problems are endless. It's not that you begin at at the age of 70, 50 is a warning bell, first warning bell. Sometimes in exams they give warning bell, okay, you have less time, right? 10 minutes remaining, wind up fast. So 50 is like a warning bell, first warning bell. Therefore, Shastras also, according to Varnashram and everything, they say that at the age of 50, you had to take Vanaprastha, right? That's the first warning bell given. But today's time, people are thinking that, no, still there is a lot of time. And so many plans to make money and everything. Life begins at 40 sometimes, people say. 40, 50, you know, right? People become like a second youth comes. But Srimad Bhagavatam gives the truth. It's a supreme absolute truth. Satyam Parama Dhimahi. It's not giving a relative truth that you start enjoying and life will be alright. It is very clearly. One has to awaken. When will awaken otherwise? So 50 is like a begin. Vanaprastha. Don't, now you have done a lot of things. You may have so many desires, but now you have fulfilled and now you start winding up. That's the first warning bell. Only somebody is not ready, if it isn't here, 60 at least. 60 is like another second warning bell. After 10 years. 70, urgency, now it is urgent. Ring, bell is ringing more vibrantly. But the time is less. So 50 is a time for earning wealth. What is this wealth? This is spiritual wealth. We should try to earn spiritual wealth when we become 50, officially. One can start earning before that also. But officially somebody has earned sufficiently or even not earned sufficiently. One should try to earn the spiritual wealth at the age of 50. And as the time passes more and more, that desire to earn the wealth should increase. Not that, okay, I did, but not working, so let me again count the money. One should reduce those activities. One should try to focus more on bhakti. Because time is less. We have less time and so many books to read, right? And distribute also. So we should also read, right? It's not that. Because there is so much wealth, so much knowledge. It transforms our life. And the more you read, you will feel like more distributing, right? So that desire should increase. And we can see that intensity increasing, intensity of distributing this knowledge, these books. That intensity was manifested in the lives of our Acharya. Even Srila Prabhupada also, at the age of 70, what was the need to go to the West and give this knowledge? At the age of 70, out of compassion again, right? He could have easily sat in Vrindavan and chanted, did his bhajan. But he realized, this is urgency. I have been told to go to the West and give the message. So he gave up his comfort zone and took that journey. And it was not that just 70 he embarked on the journey, but almost, I think, at the age of 54 he had already renounced. I mean, he had given up family life. He had taken Vanaprastha and went to Vrindavan. So from 54 to 70 he was almost preparing, right? So he was meditating, he was thinking how this message should reach. The message is the Bhagavatam is so powerful. But how to reach out, how to connect, how to make it easy for people to understand. If I just give the original Bhagavatam, nobody will understand. The Sanskrit verses, 18,000 verses, Nobody can understand that. So I had to simplify it. And he was writing, scribing, to make it easy to understand. And he's pouring out his ecstasies, his inner deeper realizations. How people can understand? What is the philosophy I should present? He came in the line of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Right? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophies, Achanta Veda Vetattva, he amalgamated all the philosophies, monism, dualism, so many misconceptions around. After Srila Vyasadeva wrote Srimad Bhagavatam also, there had been so many misconceptions. Because the effect of Kali Yuga is so powerful that the truth is getting covered. The truth is getting covered. Satya, the truthfulness. Dharma, dharma, the bull, it stands on the four legs. Three legs were already beaten or by that Kali, personified Kali, and only one leg he is standing and that is the truthfulness. That is also some other, he was hobbling on that one leg. Somehow the truth is trying to stand. And you see, our motto, our country is also Satyameva Jayate, right? It is taken from Mundaka Upanishad. Satya, truth will triumph, it will become victorious. That is the culture of this great country, Bharat Varsha. And our acharyas, our Bhagavatam, it has already told, Satyam Paramadhim. One should meditate, one should on this Supreme Absolute Truth. And when we understand that, that we are different from the Supreme Lord, we are not one with the Supreme Lord. We are different from the Supreme Lord. And eternally different. Qualitatively one, but quantitatively different. Right? That is the philosophy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He made it more easy to understand. Simultaneously one and difference. So, the living entity has his own eternal nature. And that is to become servant. Servant of God. Or to become the servant of the servant of the servant. So that philosophy was not known, right? Till Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. There were so many confusions. We are one with the Supreme Lord. Everything becomes one. Or sometimes there was complete negation of the truth. And our acharyas, they have put so much energy to revive that. Srila Vyasadeva, who is said to be in upper Badrinath, Badri Vishal, he's there, eternally existing there. Shripad Madhvacharya, in the same line, our line of Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Parampara, he wanted to reach out. I mean, he wanted to meet his spiritual master. So he took journey to meet his spiritual master in Badrinath. And it was so difficult to go, travel, and so many kings in between, and they were troubling, and so many different situations at that time. But still he took that journey out of compassion for us, to meet his spiritual master. And his spiritual master told to write commentaries on Bhagavatam and Mahabharata, right? So he took that task, took that service, so that our life becomes easy to practice, right? We have been given everything now, ready. And our acharyas have struggled to give so much. Even after Madhvacharya, then there were issues, Baladev Vidyabhushan and all. They have struggled to maintain that. And then we know that how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave this philosophy, Achintya Bhedavai Tattva. He told his followers, six Goswamis, to write literatures in persons of the devotional service. And they wrote so many scriptures. Sanatana Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Rupa Goswami. They wrote some Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Hari Bhakti Vilas. They wrote so many literatures. So, and in, they went into a lot of details of Pancharatrika Vidhi, how to perform devotional service, how to, since beginning of the day, and so many details they mentioned that how deity worship is so important. Acharya said, given all those details. And then later, we see that after when Lord Chaitanya was there, that time he had that understanding that sometime I'll be leaving and legacy should continue. And he had his own strategic planning. Rudranath can understand that quickly. He was having that thinking in his mind that how the legacy should continue, who will be the next who can carry on the legacy. So he, when he was at Ramkeli, he was in the ecstasy of chanting. And he started calling out, Narottam, Narottam. And he was looking in the direction of Keturi, Padma River. And devotees could understand that there is something, that there could be a great personality in the future who may be coming, whose name would be Narottam. They had that feeling, understood that. And we know that how Narottam Das Thakur, I need to go faster because a lot of things, and today is also a very auspicious day. So Narottam Das Thakur, how he received the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. In fact, he just appeared when Lord Chaitanya left, right? So Narottam Das Thakur's intense desire was to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He had that intense desire. He just missed a little bit, just few years. And we can see from the bhajans he has written, what was the intensity he was having. Gauranga bolite habe pulakashar, hari hari bolite nayane bhai. So he was telling that Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Just as he chants the name of Gauranga, Nayane Bhavin, his eyes are tearing. So he, and sometimes, I mean very many times, he could see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he went to take the bath in that Padma River. He could see that golden personality, golden avatar, appearing before him and embracing him and investing so much mercy in him. And the river Padma overflowed. And that was a transformational day for Lord, our Narottam Das Thakur. He was totally a transformed personality. His mother could not understand what is happening to him. Why is he crying so much? Is he haunted by some ghost? And his father tried so much that let him be relieved of this misery. I cannot see him crying continuously. He was always chanting Radha Krishna. So what is happening? And he was only son. He was the son of a king. And he wanted him to get married and carry on his legacy. But Narottam Das Thakur was completely at a different level of consciousness. And we can see that how he ultimately told his parents that this is my condition. I have been affected by the mercy of Lord Gauranga and there is no cure for this. I have to go to Vrindavan. Right. And his father afterwards, he gave up. He understood that there is no cure, materially we cannot help him. But he kept him imprisoned in his house. He did not allow him to go, right? In his house only, let him be at home only, let him practice Krishna consciousness at home. But one who is liberated, for him, no bars can condition up that soul. Nothing can stop that person from reaching to the Lord. So he took one chance. He got one opportunity and he escaped. He escaped from his home. And he reached Vrindavan. And Vrindavan, we know that how he went, he made Jiva Goswami. And then he saw the utter humility of Srila Lokanath Goswami. He wanted to take initiation from him. But Lokanath Goswami was not ready to give initiation. He was a detached personality. No need of followership and all, problems, and he was in his own bhajan, he was happy. There was no need for having any extra followers. But Narottam Das Thakur was very determined. And in fact, I think Lord Gauranga has revealed to him that he should take initiation from Lokanath Goswami. And even Lokanath Goswami, Lord Chaitanya, he appeared to him and told him, why you are not giving initiation? This is a big higher level. You cannot understand. Guru is getting the instruction to accept a disciple. This is a very high level. So he accepted. Lord Gauranga is telling that you should accept. Who can reject Lord Gauranga? So he accepted. But he said, okay, only one disciple, no extra. So he accepted only Narottam Das Thakur as his disciple. And we can see that how Narottam Das Thakur was performing his services, utter humility. And there also was Srinivas Acharya. Srinivas Acharya is again a big topic. we'll go quickly. Srinivas Acharya's birth was also a very special birth. It was not an ordinary birth. When his father Gangadhar Bhattacharya, he was traveling to Jajigram, his father-in-law's place. He just stopped at Kantak Nagar. He saw that there is some gathering. There's some lot of devotees are gathered. There is something going on there. They're chanting and something is going on. So you're naturally attracted to that, and he had wanted to see Lord Chaitanya also, because he had earlier childhood he had seen him. So he had that desire to see Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nimai, scholarly Nimai. And he went and he saw that Nimai Pandit is taking sannyas. He is telling barber to cut his hair, beautiful cascading curly hair of Lord Gauranga. And he was seeing that entire episode, was itch in his heart. He was seeing that entire thing, and then when the name of sannyas name was uttered, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, that was another moment of transformation for Gangadhar Bhattacharya. He was feeling that kind of ecstasy in his heart, and he just could not do anything but just chant Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Sri continuously was chanting. Even he came back to his home, he was chanting Sri Krishna Chaitanya. He was not coming out of that consciousness. He was so much absorbed into that. It just could not, external surrounding could not affect him. So much absorbed. And then people could understand. There is something. And then they said, okay, your name is Chaitanya Das. So at least something can connect him and pacify him. So his another name was Chaitanya Das. So after that, he had a desire. I mean, intense desire. Somehow there was some something was happening in his heart, and he wanted to, feeling that he should have a son. And similarly, his wife also felt that we should have one son. So they decided that we'll go to Puri to take the blessings of Lord Jagannath. And on the way to Puri, they were thinking that why we wasted our so much of time. We should have surrendered to Lord Gauranga, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We should just serve him. It is perfection of our life. No need of any other thing, formalities. But they kept on traveling, and before they reached Puri, they saw a beautiful child. Kind of dream and vision they called. A small child with blue complexion, pick of feather on his head, dhoti and playing flute. And then suddenly that vision changed. And they saw that same child transform as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was having his associates chanting the holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. In Navdeep they were performing kirtan. And like that they saw. And then that same Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu transformed as Lord Jagannath. So that was a vision they got. They understood that there is something, Lord Jagannath's mercy coming. Then they reach Jagannath Puri. And in that way, they met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was told him that you go and pray to Lord Jagannath. And nobody knew what is the prayer there. And Lord Gauranga told that he will get a son. His name will be Srinivasachar. And through him, I have many services to be done. He will do a tremendous service after a leave. And he will have many followers. So in this way, he got indication that there is this Srinivas is going to take birth. There is some special personality going to come. And when they came back to their place, then Srinivas was born. And he had such tremendous qualities. He was attached to hearing Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. And Chaitanya Das, his father, used to narrate the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. And he was so attached to hearing Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. His mother taught him how to do kirtan. So in that Krishna conscious environment, he was growing up. And he was developing that natural spiritual attraction for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he wanted to meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he thought that now I have to leave everything and I have to go and take darshan of Lord Gauranga, who is in Puri. Right? So he decided to go to Puri alone. And he had visualized, I mean, he had heard so many pastimes, he had not seen Lord Chaitanya, but he had that intense desire to see. And he, as he was approaching, he reached the outskirts of Puri. And he heard people coming from Puri, and they were like remorse and completely broken hearted. And they were telling, oh, why this happened, and why we had to leave, why we had to see all these things in our life. And then he asked, what is the news? What happened? Why you are so distressful? So he told that Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu was performing the pastimes in Puri. He has departed. He has left us. And after hearing that, it was a death blow to Srinivas Acharya. He was crying. He felt unconscious. He was thinking that to give up his life. So then he saw Lord Chaitanya in that state. Lord Chaitanya appeared to him and he revealed, he gave his darshan to him and instructed him that do not lament. You go to Puri. There you'll meet Gadadhar Pandit and you should learn Srimad Bhagavatam from him. So Srimad Bhagavatam connection again, the compassion of our Acharyas, how Srinivas Acharya then he learned Srimad Bhagavatam, but then the copy of Srimad Bhagavatam was not in that proper state. So then he decided to go to Shikhanda to get another copy written. But again, when he came back, he saw that Gadadhar Pandit had another big blow for him. Again, he got another vision that Gadadhar Pandit appeared and he said that you go to Vrindavan. You meet Sri Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, there you learn under them. Then, when he was on the way to Vrindavan, he reached to Mathura, he heard the news that Sri Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, they have left. So another occasion after another, one after another, he was getting so many shocking incidents in his life. He was not able to understand why I had to hear such kind of news. Why I had to live like this in their separation. And then when at that time again Surupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, they appeared and they told that you go to Vrindavan and take initiation under Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Gopal Bhatta Goswami's disappearance today. Like initiation from him. And then he went, and then we know that how he heard from Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he took initiation. And Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he told to learn under Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami had Srinivas Acharya, Narottam Das Thakur, Shyamananda Pandit, illustrious disciples, and then how they were asked to go to, again, Bengal with the books of Goswami literatures. And then we know that how the books were stolen and they were again devastated. Again, how they did not give up. I mean, they continued. How the transformations happened. And we know that how Srinivas Acharya, he changed the heart of that king, Virambir. And the entire kingdom became Vaishnava kingdom. And in that way, we know that how he accepted one disciple at Jajigram and his name was Ramachandra Kaviraj. Ramachandra and Narottam Das Thakur were intimate friends. And today is also the disciplines of Ramachandra Kaviraj. So, time is over. I cannot extend too much. I have already taken some extra time. But we know that how Narottam Das Thakuri sings, Ramachandra Sangam Age Narottam Das. how much he was feeling that separation from all the acharyas and his intimate associates. So we'll stop here. And we should know that how this legacy has come after Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, and then Srila Prabhupada, he embarked on that journey. He wrote Srimad Bhagavatam, and that Bhagavatam has come to us, and we are distributing in concession, right? So we'll stop here. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.